I think it's really sweet you're allowing him to sleep in the bed with you. But it's a hard habit to break, and dogs can become territorial when, you know, you have company. Perhaps he needs to get used to it right away. Are you available to stay this evening? Bianca rolled her eyes at me. Are you giving me a tour or what? Joel was busy taking test shots of different places in the living room to test out the natural light streaming in from the windows, so I put my hand at Bianca's back. Of course. What do you say I show you the bedroom first? What a shocker, you'd suggest that? I gave Bianca the grand tour. She seemed curious as we walked around, although I noticed she stayed in the doorway of my bedroom. She was trying to keep her distance, and as much as I understood that, my need to push closer was equally as strong as hers was to push me away. I got the feeling our standoff might be a test of endurance. What she didn't realize was that we'd had our first battle, and due to my own asinine self, I lost that one. But this was a war, one I planned to win. When we got to my office, I opened the door and then quickly shut it. Coming to my apartment wasn't something I'd originally planned, and I'd forgotten the mess I'd left on my desk. It's a mess in there, I offered, and began to walk toward the next door. But Bianca didn't budge. What are you hiding in there? Nothing. She squinted. More secrets? It's not like that. So show me the room. What are you hiding from me now, Dex? Or should I call you Jay when you lie? She folded her arms over her chest. There was no way out of this one unscathed. I took a deep breath. Fine.
Chapter 14. Bianca. I didn't know what to say. I just stood and stared. The oversized desk was a cluttered mess. There were piles of wood shavings, various wooden blocks that were carved and disregarded, an instruction book that was held open by a desk phone, and all sorts of wooden-handled tools scattered around the long desk. But that wasn't what got to me. It was the open first aid kit, along with an assortment of crumpled-up, bloodied paper towels and at least half a dozen Band-Aid wrappers. Dex was standing behind me. Neither of us had said a word since he'd flicked on the light. I turned to face him. Why? I asked.
Why what?
Why did you tell me you whittled?
You want the truth?
Of course I do. He raked a hand through his dark hair.
I have no fucking idea. I wanted to sound like a regular guy, I guess.
My lip twitched. You have no idea what regular guys do for hobbies, do you?
I was raised privileged, Bianca. If I'd told you that I fenced competitively in high school and spent my weekends at sailing regattas, what would you have thought?
He had a point. One lie can easily snowball into so many. For the record, I've dated mostly regular guys, and none of them whittled, Dex.
So noted.
Pretty sure most of them didn't say things like, so noted, either. He smiled half-heartedly. I could see he felt bad for what he'd done. In fact, I was certain he had been beating himself up over it on a regular basis, even while he was lying to me daily. I stopped at the doorway when Dex flicked off the light. I'll give you this much. You committed to the character. He grumbled.
Or I should be committed.
After my tour was over, Joel was all ready to take photos. He did a series of Dex standing at his window with the view of Central Park, followed by some of him standing in front of the massive fireplace that was the center of the living room. But it was the ones that he took of Dex sitting on the couch that I liked best. Joel had just taken a break from shooting when Dex's cell phone rang. He excused himself and went to sit on the couch to talk to what I assumed from the side of the conversation that I'd heard was his secretary. As Dex was talking, Bandit slunk up on the couch and lay next to him, resting his long face on his master's lap. He mindlessly stroked the dog's head while he went about the conversation with Josephine. From the other side of the room, Joel lifted his camera and started taking photos of what we both saw. I could only imagine how intimate the photos were going to come out. By the time Dex hung up, Joel was starting to pack up his camera equipment.
You're all done? Dex asked.
I think I have more than enough. You'll be very happy with the results.
Dex nodded, then looked at me.
Do me a favor, Joel. Take one more. I'd like a photo with Ms. George.
Of course.
Dex extended his hand toward me, and I felt foolish making a stink over a silly picture, so I went to stand next to him. He wrapped his arm around my waist and pulled me close. Joel snapped some shots, and then Bandit decided to get in on the action. He jumped up between us, one paw landing on each of my and Dexter's chests. We laughed while Joel took a few more. There was an awkwardness when Joel was finished gathering his things and packing his camera up. Well, at least, I felt it. Joel extended his hand.
It was a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Truitt. I'll have these photos to your office within 2 weeks.
Dex nodded.
Thank you. Are you heading uptown?
Joel turned to me.
Perhaps we can split a cab?
Before I could answer, Dex cut in.
Actually, I need to go over some last-minute things about the article, Bianca. Do you think you can stay for a few minutes?
It wasn't smart for me to be alone with him. I'd love to, but I have an appointment I need to get to. Dex was not going to make it easy.
2 minutes. I'll have my driver take you wherever you need to go after we're done, so you don't have to waste time grabbing a cab.
He walked Joel to the door before I could answer. When he came back to the living room, I was sitting on the couch rubbing my neck. It was really starting to hurt.
Your neck is still bothering you.
I nodded. It's muscular. Nothing a warm bath or a heating pad won't take care of.
Scoot up.
What? Dex motioned for me to sit on the edge of the couch cushion.
These fingers can't whittle for shit, but they can rub a mean massage. Let me at least help you with that.
Again, he didn't wait for my answer. Instead, he slipped off his shoes, stood up on the couch, and swung one leg over to the other side of me. Then, he settled in behind me, enveloping me between his parted thighs. I was about to object when his fingers pressed into my neck. God, that feels good. 2 minutes won't hurt. Dex wasn't lying. He could definitely give a mean massage. His thumbs rubbed up and down either side of my spine, and he applied firm pressure, kneading a circular motion to relieve the tension in my muscles. Loosening up, my head dropped until my chin was practically resting on my chest. I lost track of time as he quietly rubbed and pressed in all the right places. At one point, he guided my head to the left side and focused on an area on the right, at the top of my shoulder blade. A little mule escaped my lips before I could catch it. After that, even though my neck was relaxed, I started to feel other things tensing up. Dex was getting aroused, and since I was sitting between his legs, I could literally feel his erection swelling up against my ass. God, it feels so good. A large part of me wanted to enjoy it, to relish the feel of his fingers pressing into my achy neck muscles and his firm cock nudging at my ass cheeks as it grew. But then I remembered the other time I felt Dex up against my ass. Only it wasn't Dex. It was Jay. The night he'd showed up at my place unannounced and I practically dry-humped him. He'd spent an hour online with me as Dex and then must have raced over to my apartment to spend the next half hour as Jay. He didn't even require a break between his lies. Realizing that was like having a bucket of cold water thrown over me. I abruptly stood. I should go. Dex stood with me.
I'm sorry. Don't go. I tried everything, even thinking about the time I walked in on my grandmother having sex with my grandfather. But not even that calamity could stop my body from reacting to having you near me. I didn't ask you to stay, to get physical with you. I wasn't going to try to seduce you.
Oddly, I believed him. Why did you ask me to stay then, Dex?
I wanted to make sure you were feeling all right from the accident this morning. But I also wanted to see if I could convince you to go on a date with me. Can we start over? I know I fucked up royally. Just give me the chance to show you I'm a man you can trust.
That was half of the problem. Trust was an issue to begin with for me. I knew I had some daddy issues that were at the root of many of my doubts, but I also knew that it was nearly impossible to be around Dex without something physical happening between us. And being physical with him before I was able to forgive him and truly trust him again would be a big mistake. I need some time, Dex.
How much time?
I don't know. He looked panicked.
Can we at least continue to chat in the evenings?
That's not a good idea. Bianca, what can I do?
I actually felt bad for him. Reaching out, I touched his cheek.
Give me time. At least a few weeks.
He searched my eyes. Finding I was serious, his shoulders slumped.
Fine.
I pushed up on my tippy toes and kissed him on the cheek. Take care of yourself, Dex.
Chapter 15. Dex. Damn you, Clement. Sometimes when I got frustrated about the Bianca situation, I spent my time watching YouTube videos of my whittling nemesis. The kid could whittle anything with precision without getting a single cut on his hands. It pissed me off, yet invigorated me at the same time. Do better, Dex. I need to step up my game. Nice haircut, by the way. I spoke to the computer screen, referring to his straight blonde hair that was exactly the same length all the way around, like a bowl. I shouldn't have been torturing myself like this, but lately it seemed harder and harder to sanely occupy my time outside of work. Bianca didn't want to resume our evening chats or see me at all for a few weeks. That basically meant several days of Dexter going slowly insane and nearly blind from jerking himself off. I vowed to use these days wisely. Just because she didn't want to see me didn't mean I couldn't let her know I was thinking about her. I like to refer to this period of time as Operation Get Bianca Back. Step 1. Learn to actually whittle so you can make her romantic wooden things. All the wooden things. I bet if I put my mind to it, I could whittle a goat that might be half as good as the one I bought at the Brooklyn flea market. I turned to Bandit, who was sitting beside me watching Clement whittle away. That's genius, right? Show her I'm putting in the effort. It's heartfelt and original at the same time.
Roof!
I typed in, how to whittle a goat. Unfortunately, there weren't any videos fitting my exact specifications. I randomly clicked on the first clip that came up in my search. It was some guy with an Australian accent holding a chubby baby girl. There was an actual goat sitting next to them. Come on, Brie, say dada. Every time the man would say the word dada, the goat would let out a long baa. The baby would just let out a belly laugh each time the goat made a sound. Say dada. The goat responded, baa. Giggle. Say dada, dada, the man repeated. Baa. Giggle, giggle. What in the ever-loving fuck was I watching? The man turned to the goat. Mate, can you stop for a bit? She won't say it if you keep making her laugh. Baa. Giggle, giggle, giggle. The video ended. I immediately hit replay. It was addictive, and dare I say, my mouth hurt from smiling. Turning to Bandit, I said, imagine that, talking to a pet like a human being and expecting it to understand.
Ruff.
The title of the video was, Pixie and Bree Say Dada. This is so ridiculous, I said, discreetly bookmarking the video. This guy, Chance Bateman, had an entire YouTube channel featuring various videos of his two children and the goat. These would come in handy someday when I wanted reassurance that I wasn't the only person in this world off my fucking rocker. Fuck it. I subscribed to the channel. Even though I'd vowed not to call Bianca, that didn't mean I couldn't pull some tricks that would make it impossible for her to resist contacting me. When the phone rang, I suspected it might be her. I picked up. Bianca, you are out of your mind. She sniffled. She was either laughing or crying. She was laughing. You're laughing, though. Dex Truitt, I may have to edit the article to include a disclaimer at the end, noting that you have totally lost your marbles. Yes, but you're laughing. How did you even get it into my apartment? Let's just say your maintenance guy is going to have a really nice Christmas this year. It scared the living daylights out of me. I thought it was a real person, that someone had broken into my apartment and was readying to kill me. You're laughing, though, I repeated again. I am, she conceded. You are totally nuts. I'd purchased the Liza Minnelli statue from the owner of Jay's fake apartment and decided to have it transported to Bianca's. I'd asked him to set it up in a way that she'd see it the second she walked in the door. Making light of Crazy Jay's antics was definitely a risk, but I did it in the hopes that she could eventually learn to look back at that time with humor. Well, now you have to figure out a way to rid my apartment of the mothball smell from that damn place. I'd been laughing before, but now I was laughing even harder. I'll send for it tomorrow. Goodbye, Dexter. Goodbye, Bianca. After I hung up, I looked at Bandit and smiled victoriously. She loved it. On Sunday, I found myself at the Brooklyn Flea. Some people had drug dealers. I had a wood dealer. Coming upon the tent with the sign that read Jelani's Kenyon Crafts, I walked over to the familiar vendor. Hi, I bought a wooden billy goat off of you some time ago. I'm not sure if you remember. Still wearing the brightly colored hat from last time, the old man looked me up and down. Yes, I do remember you, he said in a strong African accent. Are you interested in something else? Actually, I need to ask you a strange favor. Okay. I've tried everything online and nothing seems to be working. I need to learn how to whittle and was wondering if I could pay you to teach me. He bent his head back in laughter. It took me years to learn how to do this, been perfecting my craft since I was a little boy growing up in Kenya. I can imagine that doing it as well as you do would take years, but I'm just really looking to be able to carve something not even half as good without slicing my fingers off. Even if it looks pathetic, as long as it's recognizable, that will do. Boy, why on earth would you want to even bother? He squinted at me. Is this about that woman? You're a smart man, Jelani. Ah, that makes more sense. Look, I know it sounds crazy. When I bought that goat from you, I told her I had made it myself, but she eventually figured out the truth. I regret ever lying to her and was hoping to prove how sorry I am by actually showing a real effort to make her something similar. Basically, I'm desperate, very close to losing the only woman I've ever had true feelings for. I'd do or pay just about anything for your expertise. He let out a deep sigh before jotting down an address. Meet me at 2 p.m. this afternoon here. I didn't have enough time to go over the bridge to Manhattan and come back here before then, so I hung out in Brooklyn, grabbed a coffee, and walked around aimlessly until it was time to head to the address in Williamsburg. At 2 p.m. on the dot, I knocked on the door and waited. The old man opened and said nothing as he stepped out of the way so I could enter. His head was completely bald, which I only now realized since he normally wore that African-themed hat. He led me down to a wood workshop located in a dingy basement. I don't know why, but I pictured you with a full head of hair under that hat, I said, just trying to make conversation. He didn't seem amused. It was a bit of an awkward start as I looked around. So this is where the magic happens, huh? How did you get started in wood carving? My grandfather taught me. We used to sell them to tourists back in Nairobi. He'd set out some tools on a table and gestured for me to sit next to him. The three main things to remember are to always go slow, have a very sharp knife, and keep your hands protected. He handed me some cut-resistant gloves. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to show you. Watch and do as I do. Jelani had already drawn with pencil the pattern of the animal onto two pieces of wood. In silence, I followed every movement he made. We practically said nothing the entire time. It took nearly 2 hours because that was how slow we were cutting the wood. Toward the end, Jelani turned to me. I have no hair because of chemo. I'm in the middle of treatment. Colon cancer. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I didn't know. It's all right. How are you feeling? There are good days and some very bad days. Today is a good day. I'm glad to hear that. I pondered the fact that you never quite know what crosses people are carrying. My problems with Bianca seemed trite in comparison. By the end, I ended up with a half-decent goat, although it was pathetic compared to Jelani's. But still, it was mine, and I could proudly take full credit for it. I can't thank you enough for taking the time to do this. Reaching into my pocket, I took out a wad of cash. Holding his hand out, he said, No. Please. Jelani pushed my hand away. I have to give you something, I insisted. Then come back once a week. Did he just say what I thought he did? You want me to come back and do this again? Yes, I appreciate the company. It helps take my mind off things. When you live alone, you think too much. This was like therapy for me. His request blew me away, but there was only one answer. I can do that.
Chapter 16. Bianca. Stepping out of my apartment on the way to work, I noticed a black town car parked out front. My heart jumped. Vex had broken his promise not to see me, and I couldn't say I was disappointed. The driver got out and came around. He nodded.
Ms. George.
I waited for the window to roll down or for Dex to emerge, but neither happened. Where is Dex?
Mr. Truitt instructed me to be at your disposal this week.
He's not here?
No. He would like me to safely see you to your destination.
Oh, okay. Thank you. He opened the back door and let me in. After giving him the address to my building, I immediately picked up the phone. Dex answered,
Bianca.
The sound of his deep, soothing voice gave me shivers. What are you doing?
It's more comfortable than the back of my tandem bike, isn't it?
Jay's bike, yes. I shook my head. I can only imagine how fast you had to work to make the bicycle thing happen that day, by the way.
Let's just say I was highly motivated.
What's with the chauffeur service?
I thought you'd like a break from dangerous taxis. And I was looking for a change of pace. I've been cabbing it to work. Sam is at your beck and call all week.
It's really not necessary.
I know that. But if I can't be with you, at least I know you're safe and sound, in good hands.
I can't use it tonight, I said. How exactly was I supposed to tell him that I'd accepted a date with a coworker? One of the editors at work, Eamon Carpenter, had asked me out. The word no had been at the tip of my tongue until I realized that it might benefit me to go out with someone other than Dex. I'd be breaking my own self-imposed rule not to get involved with men I worked with, but it would be a test as to just how deep into Dex my heart really was. We weren't exclusive, so I was able to justify it. I absolutely knew that I wasn't going to let things get to a physical level with Eamon, in any case, so I figured there was really no harm. I felt compelled to be honest with him. I'm going on a date tonight. I don't feel right taking your car. There was nothing but dead silence on the other end of the line. I swore he'd hung up. Are you there?
Yes.
He began to trip over his words.
I'm just a little stunned, to be honest. I haven't been... I mean, I...
You haven't been what?
I haven't been seeing anyone. I just assumed...
He was having trouble saying it. You assumed that I wouldn't date anyone during this break?
I guess I was just hopeful.
More silence before he asked,
Where is he taking you?
Bistro 9, I sighed. It's nothing serious, Dex. I don't plan to let him do anything. His breathing became heavier. Are you okay?
I have to go, he abruptly said.
All right, He'd hung up before I had a chance to say anything further. Later, when I arrived at the office, there was a package sitting on my desk. Upon opening it, I realized it contained the photos from Joel's shoot at Dex's house. Dex was supposed to have chosen his favorites to be used for the article. From the ones that he vetted, I would choose 3 or 4 images. The first couple of shots were of Dex in front of his window overlooking the park. I marveled at his beauty. His lustrous black hair, his tall stature, his impeccable clothes, his big masculine hands. In one of the pictures, he reminded me of a more handsome version of James Bond as played by Pierce Brosnan, but with more facial hair. There were 2 more shots featuring him in front of his fireplace. The next couple of photos were from the ones he'd shot of him and Bandit on the couch. My heart clenched. The last one was framed and had a note on it. Mr. Truitt wanted you to have this. It's not for the article. It was the photo of Dex, me, and Bandit, the one where the dog had a paw on each of us. It was making me emotional. He'd clearly sent this over before our conversation this morning. Guilt set in. Damn you, Dex. The reality was that I didn't want to go on this date with Eamon. I was forcing myself to do it to prove that I still had the capability to connect with someone else, in the event that my heart was to be destroyed by Mr. Moneybags. It was a self-protective mechanism. Deep down, I knew that. But Dex didn't. I was sure Eamon could tell I was preoccupied. I kept checking my phone to see if Dex had texted. He hadn't said a word since my date revelation this morning, and it made me wonder if I'd royally screwed things up. I mentally scolded myself for obsessing over Dex while on a date with another man. Trying to make conversation to move my mind into a different place, I said, "What's new on your end at the magazine? What's the next project?"
"I'm setting up an interview with Harry Angelini of Markle Corporation next week. But honestly, your exclusive with Truitt is all anyone seems to be talking about."
Great. So much for getting my mind off him. "Yes, it went really well."
"I haven't had a chance to read the first draft, but people keep saying how thorough it is, as if you'd spent months with him."
"It was an ongoing format." I cleared my throat. "I found that to be better than rushing it."
"I think you might have something there."
The waiter came by with a small plate.
"Some dessert for you."
"We didn't order dessert."
"Yes, well, actually, it was courtesy of someone who called in and wanted you to have it."
When I looked down at the plate, I nearly gasped. Sitting atop a drizzle of caramel were two gigantic chocolate balls. "What is this?"
"It's tartufo. Ice cream balls."
Balls. My face felt flush. Dexter. It had to be. "Okay. Thank you."
"What was that all about?" Eamon asked.
"I'm not sure," I lied. "Will you excuse me? I have to use the bathroom. Please start on the dessert without me." Once in the stall, I texted him. "Bianca, are the ice cream balls from you?" Three dots immediately appeared on the screen. "Dex."
"Yes. Enjoy them."
"Bianca, you really shouldn't have." "Dex."
"Well, I know you like balls, and I wanted to apologize for my strange behavior this morning. You have every right to see whomever you want."
"Bianca, thank you, but no need to apologize. Your reaction was understandable." "Dex."
"I've instructed Sam to wait outside of the restaurant, in the event that you need a ride. If he's not parked, he'll be circling around the block. I'm not using him tonight anyway. If you decide not to take advantage of the ride, that's fine. But he's there if you need him."
"Bianca, that's very nice of you. Thank you. What are you doing tonight that you don't need a car?" "Dex."
"I've decided to stay in."
"Bianca. Okay. Well, have a good evening." "Dex."
"You too."
His sudden change of attitude seemed weird. I almost wondered if he was practicing reverse psychology, although I would never really know for sure. When I returned to the table, Eamon had devoured his ball and paid the bill. "Was it good?" I asked. He licked his lips.
"It was great."
A few minutes later, I looked down at the time and said, "This has been really fun, but I have to be up early in the morning, so I think I'm going to head home if that's okay."
"Can we share a cab?"
"Actually, I have to stop somewhere on the way back, so I'm just going to head out alone."
"Okay, sure."
He seemed very disappointed, but truly, it was better not to lead him on. I really shouldn't have gone on the date in the first place if my heart wasn't in it. I told Eamon I needed to stop back in the bathroom on the way out so that he would exit the restaurant first. Once outside, sure enough, I noticed the town car parked across the street. I waved. "Hello, Sam."
"Good evening, Ms. George,"
he said as he opened the door for me. I nearly had a heart attack when I saw who was in the back seat. At first, I thought it was Dex, but no, it was the Liza Minnelli statue. Sinking back into the leather seat, I began to laugh hysterically.
"Sorry about that, miss. He made me do it,"
I heard Sam say.
"Where to?"
Where was I going? There was only one place I wanted to go tonight. "Mr. Truitt's place, please."
Chapter 17. Dex. Bandit was barking like crazy. I twisted the shower handle to turn off the water so that I could hear what was making him go nuts. He wasn't generally a barker. In between his roughs, The faint sound of the doorbell buzzing echoed under the bathroom door. Shit. Stepping out, I grabbed a towel, wrapped it around my waist, and headed to the front door. When I looked through the peephole, no one was on the other side. But Bandit was still going crazy, so I opened the door and poked my head out into the hallway. My heart started pounding when I found Bianca standing in front of the elevator doors looking down. Bianca? She looked up. Dex, you didn't answer. I thought you were out. I was in the shower. The doors to the elevator she was standing in front of slid open, and she turned to face them, then glanced back at me, and then back at the waiting car. She was clearly pondering her departure. After a few heartbeats, she made her decision. I should go. It was a mistake coming over here. I'm sorry. Bianca, wait. She froze with one foot inside the elevator car. I didn't give a fuck that I was still dripping wet and only wearing a towel. I ran down the hall after her. Don't leave, please. I caught her elbow and waited as she again deliberated. When she finally nodded, I let out a deep breath. There was no way I was giving her any time to change her mind again, so I quickly steered her away from any available escape and into my apartment. Although I'd managed to get her into my place and close the door behind her, she stayed just barely inside and looked down at her feet. "Well, this is a nice surprise," I said. "I shouldn't be here." "I think you're wrong. This is exactly where you should be. Where you shouldn't have been tonight was on that date." Bandit had been standing near my side and chose that moment to walk to Bianca. He sat down directly on her feet and pushed his head into her crotch. She smiled and scratched the top of his head. "Good boy. Remind me to buy you a bone. From an elephant." "Our dog seems to agree with me." Her head whipped up. "Our dog?" "Yes. I feel like he belongs to both of us since he helped bring us together. If I'm not mistaken, he actually helped break us apart. I saw you at the shelter. That's how I uncovered who you really were, remember?" I took a step closer. "I don't see it that way." She scoffed. "Then you need glasses, Truett." Another step. "I don't need glasses to know you look beautiful right now." Her hair was down and had a wavy, wind-blown look to it. She looked absolutely breathtaking wearing a simple black strapless dress. Her lips were painted a blood red, and when her tongue darted out to wet them, I was unable to stop staring. "Dex." Her voice was low, but there was a warning tone to it. She must have known how much looking at her was affecting me. "Bianca," I mimicked her, and took a hesitant step closer. When she didn't run, not that she had anywhere to actually run with her back against the front door, I took that as a sign to keep moving in. She looked down, and I got the sense that she was trying to maintain her control. Too bad I wanted nothing more than to make her lose it. "Your date ended early. Did Eamon not do it for you the way I do?" She squinted. "How did you know his name was Eamon?" "Shit. It doesn't matter. You ended it early. What matters is that you're here now and not with that asswipe." "He's not an asswipe, and it does matter. How did you know his name?" "My driver paid the maitre d' to get the name on your reservation." "Why?" "Because I needed to know who my competition was on the chance that you'd like him enough to go out with him for reasons other than an attempt to forget me." Her eyes widened. "You're so full of yourself. You think my date had something to do with you? Newsflash, Dexter Truett, the world does not revolve around you." "Really? That's a shame, especially since mine seems to revolve around you as of late." We stared at each other. There were clearly a million thoughts going through her head as her eyes jumped back and forth. Unfortunately, she settled on the one I had hoped she'd rid herself of already. "I should go," she whispered. I felt desperate. I closed the little gap that remained between us. The heat from our bodies was radiating, and the smell of her perfume engulfed my senses. When I glanced down, I realized her chest was rising and falling as rapidly as mine. I couldn't let her leave. I just couldn't. "Don't go. I need to." Recognizing I was out of time and she was about to bolt, I used the only thing I knew was her weakness, her attraction to me. Taking her face in my hands, I cupped both cheeks and planted my lips over hers. "Stay. Don't leave." Then I devoured her mouth. She opened without hesitation, and my tongue dove right in, finding hers. Feeling her physically surrender to me so easily was a complete turn-on. I pressed my body into hers, pinning her between the door and my naked chest. Her tits pushed up, beckoning to be set free from her strapless little dress, and the feel of her bare skin against mine was fucking incredible. I wanted to lift her up and cradle her in my arms as I carried her back to my bedroom. I was just about to, too, when Bianca nudged at my chest. Her voice was breathless, and she didn't sound like she actually meant one word. "Dex, we need to slow down." I leaned my forehead against hers. "I've been trying to slow down since the day I met you. I seem to have only one speed when it comes to you, Georgie girl." Her lip twitched. "Georgie girl? Isn't that what Jay used to call me?" "Yes, but it's what I've called you in my head since the first day I met you." She pondered that for a moment. "I do like it. It's sweet." "There's a first. Not sure a woman's ever called me sweet before." "That's the thing with you, Dex. On the outside, you appear to be something very different than what I keep catching glimpses of on the inside." Her sexy red lipstick was smeared. I rubbed it from her face with my thumb. "Oh yeah? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?" "It's a good thing. It means deep down inside you're not the jerk that you show people on the outside, the one who lies to women in elevators." A flash of what I saw when the elevator lights flickered on that day popped into my head. "I thought you were stunning the first time I saw you. I didn't think you were so bad yourself. I'm so unbelievably attracted to you. For weeks, I haven't been able to think about you without getting a hard-on." Bianca blushed. "I think I feel that attraction digging into my hip right now." I grinned, but didn't make an attempt to move. "Sorry." "No, you're not." She shoved at my chest. "Go put some clothes on. We need to sit down and talk, and you can't be in a towel." I could take it off. She waved her hand in the direction of my very visible erection, then shook her head and pointed down the hall to my bedroom. "That thing is distracting. Go, and don't come back until it's less bulgy." I needed a full 10 minutes to get my head screwed on straight, not to mention get my raging hard-on under control. Bianca was here instead of on her date. It was a start. If I could manage to keep my dick out of my head, maybe I stood a chance after all. I dressed in a pair of jeans and a plain dark t-shirt before spraying on some cologne and slicking back my wet hair. Then I double-checked that my bulge was adequately deflated and headed back to the living room. Bianca was looking out the window. "Can I get you something to drink?" I asked. "Are you having something?" "I was going to open a bottle of wine. Do you like red?"
"I do."
It took me twice as long to open the damn bottle since my kitchen counter faced the living room where Bianca was staring off. I couldn't stop looking at her. She was gorgeous. A man would have to be blind not to see that. But it was more than that. I felt a pull to her that was there the first time I'd met her, even before the lights turned on in that dark elevator. We were connected in some way. I was sure of it. I just needed to show her it was more than physical. "Here you go." I handed her a glass.
"Thank you."
She turned back to the window. "You look pretty deep in thought there." She sipped her wine.
"I suppose I am."
"Well, I'm debulged and all ears." Bianca glanced down and sighed.
"Such a shame to have wasted it."
Trying my hardest to be on my best behavior, I bit my tongue. "Why don't we go sit so we can talk?" After we sat, I waited for her to speak first. The key to getting Bianca to forgive me was going to be patience, so I figured I'd start practicing with the easy things. She traced the rim of her glass a few times with her finger and then said,
"My date was a nice guy."
I closed my eyes briefly and then opened them. "I suppose if you're dating someone other than me, I'd like them to at least be a nice guy, for your sake."
"Thank you."
I couldn't help myself. To clarify, just because he might be a nice guy doesn't mean I wouldn't like to beat the crap out of him right now. She shook her head but smiled.
"You don't have to worry. I'm not going to go out with him again."
I sipped my wine, watching her over the brim of my glass. I might have just lost some of my urge to beat him senseless. We were sitting on the couch next to each other, and Bianca twisted her body so that she was facing me straight on. I wanted to like him. I wanted to have the tingles as he spoke during dinner, and I wanted to want to go home with him after we ate, to have mind-blowing sex. I know I probably deserved for her to feel that way after the shit I'd pulled, but hearing her say that really hurt. Well, that makes one of us. I don't want to be with you. Yes, I'm getting that loud and clear. She set her glass down on the coffee table and then looked me in the eyes. But as much as I don't want to feel a certain way, I do. I've tried to force myself to stop thinking about you, and I've tried to distract myself with another man. Yet here I am at the end of my date tonight. I set my drink down next to hers. Listen to me, Bianca. I fucked up. I know I did. I've apologized, and I'll keep apologizing over and over again. But you can't deny that there is something going on here that is worth taking another chance on. I caressed her cheek. Take a chance on me, Georgie girl. Take a chance.
Chapter 18. Bianca. I finally admitted to myself that I was more afraid not to take a chance than I was of getting hurt again. Sometimes the reward is worth the risk. I looked into Dex's eyes. You'll always be honest with me? I swear on it. I bit my bottom lip. The truth was, I couldn't imagine never seeing this man again. He was right. Something was there between us. Something I'd never experienced before. Our connection was so strong, it was impossible to move on. Okay. Dex's face lit up, like I'd just flicked the lights on Christmas morning and he'd found a room full of presents. It was really adorable.
Okay. As in, you're giving me another chance?
I needed to be serious, but couldn't help but smile at how happy he seemed. Yes, but we need to slow down. I want to start over.
I can do that.
Starting over means dating, getting to know each other. I want to know the real Dexter Truitt. He inched closer to me on the couch.
I'm an open book.
Good. We should probably start with a date.
I'd like that.
He inched closer again so that our knees were now touching. I was wearing a skirt, and when his hand went to my bare knee, I felt it all over. His thumb gently rubbed at my skin. Goosebumps were prickling from his touch, yet I managed to say, I don't have sex on the first date. He leaned in.
What do you do on the first date?
My mind may have wanted to slow things down, but my body had other ideas when he began to wind my long hair around his hand. Not much. He spoke over my lips.
How about kiss? Do you kiss on the first date?
There was nothing more I wanted than to kiss him again. Well, maybe there were other things I wanted even more, but that was definitely going to have to wait, too. I abruptly stood. I need to go. Dex stood.
Because you don't trust yourself to stay here in my apartment with me?
I don't, and you know it. You know I'm attracted to you physically, and I can see that you're going to make it very difficult for me if I stay. So I'm going to remove myself from this situation. Because we're going to take it slow. He didn't hide his disappointment.
When will I see you again?
Friday night. You can take me out on a proper date as Dexter Truitt. I think a public place is safest for now. Dex's grin was wolfish.
If you think being in public with me will keep me from mauling you, then I suppose you need this date to get to know me better.
I rolled my eyes, even though I secretly loved him admitting he couldn't control himself around me either. Good night, Dex.
Good night, Georgie girl.
I had the worst first date jitters I'd ever had, which may have had something to do with the fact that it wasn't really our first date. I'd just discarded the third dress I'd tried on, and was now sitting on my bed in only a bra and panties, taking a minute to relax. Eyes shut, I took a few cleansing breaths and started to focus on the sound of my meditation balls humming as I massaged them in the palm of my hand. I rolled my neck a few times, loosening up my posture, and just when I began to find my calm, the doorbell buzzed. Shit. I grabbed for my phone and was shocked to realize that it was already 7:10. I must have wasted almost an hour trying on clothes and attempting to meditate when I'd thought it was more like 15 minutes. Shit, shit, shit. Covering myself with a bathrobe, I went to the door and pressed the button for the intercom. Dex?
The one and only.
I buzzed him up. There wasn't time for me to get dressed, but I quickly ran to the bathroom mirror to fix myself. Even though I'd done my hair earlier, changing in and out of dresses had made a mess of it. When I was done, I unlocked the door and waited. Dex stepped off the elevator, and I watched as he walked down the long hall to my apartment door. God, he was really handsome. He wore a dark sports jacket with dark slacks and a gray dress shirt, sans tie. But it was the way he strutted toward my door, full of swagger and confidence, that made my pulse race. There was actually a little flutter in my stomach as he neared my door. Dex took my face into one hand and gave me a chaste kiss. After, he spoke over my lips.
I thought you wanted to go slow.
I do.
Answering the door in that robe and looking at me like that isn't exactly the way to go about doing slow.
I shook my head, hoping to wake up my brain. Sorry, I lost track of time. Come in. I just need a few minutes. I opened the door and went inside my apartment, but turning back, I found that Dex hadn't followed me in. He was standing inside my open doorway.
I think I should wait out here.
What? Don't be ridiculous. Come inside. His eyes dropped down to point to my breasts. I was fully covered, but my silky robe wasn't doing a damn thing to hide my pert nipples. They were poking through the lace of my bra and thin cover-up, looking as anxious and excited as I felt. I folded my arms across my chest.
That's your fault. My fault?
Yes, if you weren't all... I waved my hand up and down. All dark and sexy looking, they wouldn't be saluting you. And you kissed me. What do you expect? He grinned.
Dark and sexy looking.
I rolled my eyes. Just come in and sit down.
Okay, but I can't guarantee I won't be all sexy looking.
I disappeared into my bedroom and left Dex sitting in the kitchen. After another rummage through my closet, I finally settled on a red dress that I loved. It was one of those colors that turned heads, and the only time I'd ever worn it was when I went out to a bar with my friends from work. I'd attracted more attention than I'd ever had that night, so much so that I never wore it again. But tonight I was feeling greedy and wanted Dex to be unable to keep his eyes off of me, the same way I seemed to be unable to keep mine off of him. The look on Dex's face told me I'd made the right decision when I walked into the kitchen. He was looking at some pictures of my nieces that I had hanging on the refrigerator and turned when he saw me.
You look...
He trailed off, then made a face.
Maybe you should change.
I frowned. You don't like my dress?
I fucking love the dress.
I don't understand. Dex walked to me.
You look beautiful. Red is definitely your color. But that dress... I'm going to get myself into trouble tonight, and I know it.
Dex had taken me to one of the most exclusive spots on the Upper West Side. The Chapel Restaurant was an old church converted into a high-end eatery. Featuring original stained glass windows, it was popular not only for the ambiance, but for its eclectic fusion cuisine. It took weeks, if not months, to get into this place. Unfolding my cloth napkin, I said, I'd ask how you managed a reservation, but I assume you can pretty much get whatever you want in this city.
Well, if that isn't the most ironic statement of the year, I most certainly cannot get whatever I want. If that were true, I'd be underneath this table right now with my head between your legs.
I clenched my muscles. You're such a horny bastard. He played with his watch.
I've never tried to hide that fact from you. And your face is turning redder than that gorgeous dress. You know you love the thought of my head buried beneath your skirt, my mouth getting you off. Admit it.
I did. It's a pleasurable thought, yes?
You've learned through the course of our talks that I'm damn good at what I do for a living, but what you haven't yet realized is how damn good I am with my tongue. That's not something I could have described in an interview, of course. It's just something I'll have to show you when the time is right.
Dex had an unbelievable ability to appear so composed when he was talking dirty in public places. I would bet anyone watching him from afar could have easily assumed we were just talking business. I, on the other hand, was squirming in my seat. He wiggled his brows.
By the way, I brought you something.
Oh? I grinned. He took it out of his inside pocket. It appeared to be another little wooden animal. Unlike the last one that he'd given me, that Jay had given me, this one was far from perfectly carved.
I made this for you, he said proudly.
What is it?
It's a goat. You can't tell.
Oh, I see, I lied. I couldn't tell what it was. This is all your handiwork?
Yes. I've been taking lessons from a master whittler. By the time he's through with me, I plan to whittle you the world, baby.
That's really not necessary. Why do you feel the need to continue that part of your facade?
It's not about that, at all. I think I accidentally developed respect for an art I'd originally made a mockery of. And now, I truly enjoy trying my hand at it. I'm also in a very disturbing, one-sided competition with a 10-year-old YouTuber.
He cracked a smile.
Is that weird?
Yes, I laughed. But you're a little eccentric and weird yourself, in a good way, so it fits. I looked down at the barely recognizable goat. This is precious, though. I'll cherish it even more than the first one, because it's really yours.
Good.
He winked. After we finished our meal, my attention turned to a couple who'd just arrived. They were sitting diagonally across from us. The woman was tall and gorgeous and much younger than the man. Her blonde hair was parted to the side and pulled back into a low bun. A thin strand of pearls lay atop her champagne-colored, satin, sleeveless top. A bright red Birkin bag that I knew must have cost in the tens of thousands sat on the ground next to her seat. When the woman's date got up from the table, her eyes locked with mine before she started to type something. Dex's phone suddenly vibrated, prompting him to look down and check it. He then turned around and looked straight at the blonde. She was now smiling directly at us. What the hell?
Fuck,
he whispered under his breath. That woman just texted you? He gritted his teeth.
That's Caroline.
Caroline. My stomach sank. Suddenly, the woman who had seemed attractive seconds ago became 10 times more gorgeous in my mind, more threatening. I realized the mouth that was curved up in a smile was the same one that had been habitually wrapped around his beautiful cock. Riddled with jealousy, I asked, "What did she just text you?" Dex knew he wouldn't be able to get away with hiding it, so he simply handed me the phone. "Caroline, so, this is the reason you won't fuck me anymore." I gave it back to him. Caroline noticed that he'd shown me the text and began typing again. When his phone buzzed, I asked, "What does it say?" He reluctantly turned the screen toward me. "Caroline, make sure you tell her that you like anal play." A rush of adrenaline hit me. "Oh, really?" I huffed. "Good to know." Dex looked like he was getting angry.
"She's fucking with you, Bianca, because she sees you checking my phone."
When Caroline's date returned to the table, the texting stopped, and her attention turned back toward the older man who was wining and dining her.
"I'm sorry," Dex said.
"It's fine. We can't change anything that happened before we met." He could clearly see that I wasn't really okay when he said,
"Let's get out of here."
"No, then she'll know she upset me. I don't want to give her that satisfaction."
"Yeah, well, the alternative, staying, is making you miserable. I'm not going to accept that."
Dex placed a wad of cash on the table to cover our bill and signaled for me to follow him. I forced my eyes away from Caroline as we passed her table and exited the restaurant. We made our way into the town car, and Dex instructed Sam to just drive around for a while until we knew where we wanted to go next. Dex took my hand in his.
"I'm really sorry about that."
"You don't need to apologize again."
"I'm glad we at least got to eat before she showed up."
I stared out the window for a bit before I said, "I've never been a jealous person. I wish it didn't upset me so much." It was hard to admit how I felt, but seeing her, especially how beautiful she was, really did catch me off guard. In a weird way, it made me want him more because I suddenly felt insecure and possessive.
I think it's adorable that you're jealous, and it's also a bit of a relief because it shows me that you care about me at a time when I really need that reassurance.
I'm the one feeling self-conscious right now. She was absolutely stunning.
She's physically beautiful, but so are a lot of women. It takes more than a pretty face to get me to the point of obsession. That's where I am with you, Bianca. Not only are you the only woman I care to be with physically right now, but I fell for your mind long before my dick became impossible to control.
He squeezed my hand.
And you want to talk about jealousy? Do you have any idea what a wreck I was every single second you were out on that date? But it's good to be open about this kind of stuff. We should be honest about our feelings, especially when it helps us determine where we stand with each other.
Speaking of honesty, something had been really gnawing away at me for some time now. It was the one secret I'd kept hidden from the get-go. I'd given him grief about his deception when I was hiding something of my own. It felt like the right time to confess what brought me to him in the first place. My palms felt sweaty. I have to tell you something. Seeming concerned by my tone, he loosened his grip on my hand.
All right.
Here goes. I've knocked you for your dishonesty, but I haven't been completely truthful with you about something. There's a piece of information I've been keeping from you since the day we met.
Tell me this doesn't have to do with another man.
No.
Thank fuck.
Well, not in the way you might think.
What are you talking about?
There was a reason I volunteered to interview you. It wasn't just for curiosity's sake.
Okay. What was it then?
Your father was the reason.
My father?
Yes.
What about my father?
My mother used to work for him.
Your mother worked for my father? What did she do at Montague?
She was his secretary for a time.
You're kidding.
No.
God, he went through so many secretaries. How long did she work for him?
I'm not sure. Several years.
Well, that's certainly longer than most.
I know. Your dad fired her, though, and that led to some serious money problems for my family because we were dependent on that paycheck. Dexter Sr. apparently paid very well. We'd become accustomed to having that security.
What happened after that?
Well, I was too young to remember, but from what my mother told me, my dad's company downsized around the same time, and he lost a good portion of his income. That was sort of the point where my parents' marital problems really started. My father had an affair around that time, so my mother losing her job was really the beginning of the end.
And you associate all of this bad stuff happening with what my father did. That was sort of the catalyst.
Yes. I realize it wasn't directly his fault, but it made me want to somehow get back at him by conducting the interview with you. I had originally planned to make it difficult for you, but that never happened, of course, because I soon realized that you were nothing like your father.
I can't believe you kept this from me.
Well, I think you can understand the need to hide an uncomfortable truth. He nodded.
I certainly can. And I don't blame you for not wanting to admit your original intentions. I just wish you had opened up to me about it sooner. I wouldn't have held it against you. You didn't know about me then. And honestly, my father was a shitty human being, so you had every reason to want retribution.
I would never want to do anything to hurt you now, Dex. Please believe that. I feel so foolish thinking back to that time.
You know what I think?
What?
We've both made mistakes, especially me. I think we've done enough lying to each other and enough apologizing. Why don't we stop dwelling on the past? Let's stop letting other people get in the way of our happiness, too, whether that's fictional Jay, Caroline, or my father. Let's just move on.
He kissed my forehead.
Unless you have anything else to confess.
I don't. I smiled. Thank you for understanding. And you're right. No more focusing on the past.
You could have told me something far worse, and honestly, at this point, Bianca, I'd have let it slide because I want you too damn much. I can't go back. You could have told me you murdered someone, and the next thing I'd know, I'd be harboring a fugitive. You're crazy, Dex. I know you have trust issues, and I know I've contributed to them, but I really do want to help undo some of the damage. It goes far beyond what happened with us. My father's affair, his leaving us when I was so very young, really made me an untrustworthy person, in general. There's no man a girl is supposed to trust more than her father. His betraying my mother when times got rough conditioned me to always wait for the other shoe to drop. I won't let you take all the blame for my hesitation with you. It goes far beyond you or Jay.
Okay, then we've established that we both have the same fear.
The same?
Yes. You fear that I'll turn out like our fathers, and that's exactly my own fear. I worry that even though I know right from wrong, that I'm somehow genetically predisposed to being a bad person. Honestly, the Jay facade made me wonder more than ever. The fact that I was capable of pulling that off, of deceiving you, served as evidence in my own mind that my fear is warranted. How much control do I really have over my actions if I was able to make a split-second decision like that? So, I worry too. But at some point, we just have to let go and see what happens.
He was right. I happened to look down at that moment and noticed that he looked like he was packing a snake in his trousers. Oh my God, are you hard?
Yes.
How can you have gotten an erection when we were in the middle of a serious conversation?
Do you really have to ask that? When am I not hard around you?
He pointed to his skull,